Welcome to World Cup 2026 Pulse. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Here's the split screen right now. Record costs hitting fans, while host cities roll out free distributed ways to watch. Two strong currents at the same time.
The scale is real. FIFA and the World Trade Organization pegged total global output at $80.1 billion, with $40.9 billion added to global GDP, and 824,000 full-time jobs. They're projecting 6.5 million visitors spending up to $13.9 billion across 104 matches in 16 cities.
That sounds massive. What does it mean on the ground?
Price pressure. Average daily spend for an international visitor is estimated at $416. Hotel rates in Los Angeles are forecast to jump about 90% to roughly $480 a night. Tickets use dynamic pricing. Group stage seats starting around $700, and a Category 1 ticket to the final topped $10,000 in the last sales round.
Still, cities see a windfall. Seattle officials told ERR they expect up to $1 billion in local impact. Lumen Field will host groups B, D, and G, plus a round of 32 and a round of 16 game. Bars near the stadium are tripling beer orders and adding shifts, and hotels across the street are booked for 6 weeks.
Houston's lining up too. A Bank of America-hosted summit put the local impact at roughly $1.5 billion. Like five Super Bowls in a single summer. With each match driving a Super Bowl-level day in certain districts.
That scale creates headaches. Business owners in Houston flagged security perimeters and road closures as the big operational risk. Final maps are due next month. If you run a bar or work downtown, that's the difference between a packed house and a traffic jam.
And even with the U.S. government pouring money into security, locals care about the nuts and bolts, route access, and staff parking on match days. Those decide whether they capture the upside or get gridlocked.
So, what's the counterweight to rising costs?
Free, distributed access. The Bay Area Host Committee announced 30-plus fan zones and watch parties from San Francisco to San Jose to Oakland. Free and open to the public starting June 11th. Specific activations? Thrive City watch parties on June 12th for USA Paraguay and June 18th for Mexico South Korea. Plus Pride House SF events like Family Day for USA Australia on June 19th and an SF Pride watch party for USA Turkey on June 25th.
And they're pushing it beyond big plazas. The committee published a public screening playbook so bars, restaurants, and community groups can host compliant watch events, turnkey templates, guidelines, promo materials.
Canada's mirroring that model. Canada celebrates the FIFA World Cup 2026, hits 34 communities beyond host cities. Stops like Fort St. John, Kingston, and Niagara Falls, running June 11th to July 19th. FIFA says this puts events within a two-hour drive of over 75% of Canadians.
As we discussed when we broke down viewing logistics and that $10.5 billion ad spend projection, distributed experiences become the pressure valve. If tickets and hotels squeeze fans, free civic events keep the tent big.
Brands are stitching the emotion across it all. Coca-Cola launched Uncanned Emotions, a fan-centric film with a live broadcast feel. Peter Drury and Luis Omar Tapia on the mic, plus the FIFA World Cup Trophy Tour and a Panini partnership to tie nostalgia to digital.
And the grassroots flavor matters. Seattle vendors hyping the Seattle dog, Houston bars doubling staff, Bay Area Pride House curating inclusive watch parties. That's culture as infrastructure. It keeps the tournament open, even when the spreadsheet looks brutal.
On the field and on the broadcast, officiating and tech are set to change the rhythm. FIFA finalized 52 referees, 88 assistants, and 30 VARs. Two headline names from England, Michael Oliver and Anthony Taylor, return. In the U.S., Ismael Elfath and Tori Penso made the cut. Penso's the first U.S. woman selected as a lead on-field official for a men's World Cup.
Six women total are on the officiating crews, but only two as head refs, Penso and Mexico's Katia Garcia. What's new for Matchflow? First ever body cameras on referees for broadcast perspective. An advanced semi-automated offside system plus connected ball tech will aid decisions. Cameras track 29 data points per player, and the match ball's internal sensor pings 500 times per second. New IFAB-aligned guidelines include tighter time-wasting enforcement on restarts. Only captains can approach the ref. Others get cautioned, plus a 10-second substitution limit and 5-second countdowns on throw-ins and goal kicks in certain cases.
The trade-offs are clear. Expect faster offside judgments, more added time if teams stall, and less mass confrontation. Teams that milk stoppages lose a lever. Pressing sides may love the quicker cadence. Games could feel snappier on TV with fewer long VAR waits.
There's a money angle too. Reports indicate head refs earn about $70,000 for the tournament, and assistants $25,000, with stipends covering North American travel. That underwrites the tech and training needed to keep 104 matches clean.
And training is intensive. All officials convene for a 10-day seminar in Miami from May 31st. The goal is consistent application before match day one.
One more off-pitch story, identity and presentation. Nike acknowledged a shoulder area aesthetic flaw on its 2026 kits, no performance impact, and says it's reviewing next steps. Spain tapped Loewe under LVMH to dress the squad off the pitch, leaning into national identity. Uruguay brought in Gabriela Hurst, using Uruguayan merino wool to tell a sustainability and heritage story through tailoring.
Net effect. At the top, premium, tickets, hotels, couture. At the base, access, free fan zones, and national roadshows. The tournament's vibe will be set by how those layers meet in real life.
One big thing to watch, the first week's average VAR review times. If they drop noticeably by June 18, the tech and training package is doing its job, and the tournament's on a faster clock.